It's Monday the 19th of December and you're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host Paul Hinton and as ever, I'm joined by Sean Phillips and Aaron Wren. Hello there, gents.
Hello there, Paul.
Good evening, Paul.
And this week we're going to, I think we could just play back last week's podcast in reverse as the Devils beat the Steelers and lost to the Panthers. We're obviously going to pick a player of the week, have a little look around the league specifically at the Giants, who seem to be sneaking up the table at the moment. Have a look at your Ramite suggestions and give our own before previewing what is quite a busy festive schedule for the Devils. So starting with the good news this week, we've had the Steelers into town again and yet again. Devils ran out victors in another really tight and quite stressful game on the whole. Another scoreless first period as well, which was, I thought, just as entertaining as the first period the week before, but a completely different game, Sean.
Yeah, we went out there and I think absolutely grabbed the game and made it our own. You know, we set the tone, we were fast, we were physical, and I was devastated that we hadn't got a goal out of it, given how well we played. I thought that might have been our undoing. And going into the second period, I was optimistic of the way we played, but I thought maybe that the fact we hadn't taken our opportunities would have gone against us. And just a minute 59 in, and that certainly it was certainly reinforced.
Yeah, didn't look good at all there. And one of those things you always say, isn't it, when you don't score in a really dominant period, you start to worry things aren't going to go your way. And you know, Levi Nelson put the Steelers in the lead, and you know, you just start to worry, you know, law of average. I keep, every time we play Sheffield now, I just think, law of averages says we've got to lose one eventually. And, yeah, I thought that was going to be a sign of that.
Yeah.
But then one of the most bizarre goals, probably the most bizarre goal I've seen, brought us back level with the Steelers on a delayed power play just before Moose had a chance to go off to the net. And somehow Sheffield managed to put the puck into their own net, Aaron.
Yeah, definitely the most unusual goal I've ever seen scored. And it wasn't a goal that I wanted to see us equal the game at, but I'll take a goal that I've scored. And we managed to pull it back to 1-1 and we was back in the game after quite a dead second period, in my opinion.
Yeah, about halfway through the second, and I think, you know, safe to say Steelers had the better of it. But you said it's not the goal you want at any time something that hilarious happens to anyone, but especially Davey Phillips. I was more than happy to see the puck bounce. I was stood at the bar down that end of the rink when it went in as well, so I had a lovely view of it. And but just, you know, just one of those things, you know, delayed power play own goals you very rarely see, and you know, with the netminder still in as well, is probably almost unheard of.
Yeah, I think it was good to get that bit of fortune in, you know, in our favour as well, because I think with the Nelson goal, it went off Mark Lewis's skate as they went to sandwich, you know, the two defensemen pitched to try and, you know, get him out of the slot, and the puck got caught up in between them and went 5-all on bounce. So lucky bounce their way, lucky bounce our way, and I feel it was sort of a fair way for the end of the second period to be.
Yeah, and probably overall in the game for about a fair result, a fair score. The sort of big turning point in the second period, though, was the 5-plus game misconduct handed out to Zach Fitzgerald 6 minutes in. Obviously, you're putting Devils on an extended power play. Now, the hit did look bad in real time. Sean, on rewatching on the highlights, potentially a slightly harsh call.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit late, maybe, and a little high. I've not seen it enough. I've only rewatched it the once, and I wouldn't like to say unless I saw it again. So I'm not going to pass, you know, too much of a judgment on it.
Yeah, I've seen it the one time myself, and you know, again, it is a hit that's a bit late, and it is a hit towards the head, and whether it should be a 2-plus-10 or a 5-plus game, it's definitely a penalty. And You make contact with a head, you run the risk of sitting some serious time at the very least. So, at the end of the day, we keep saying it. It should all be about protecting the players. So, if that's what they're going to start calling, that's what they call. Devils did make hard work of the power play, though, running 4 minutes without managing to break the Steelers down. But with just 50 seconds left on the 5 minutes, Joey Martin put the Devils in the lead with a well-worked goal from Patrick Aston and Jake Morissette after some really good, solid zone time in there. A decent power play, Sean, I thought, with a lot of zone time, but just struggled to carve out the chances until that one.
Yeah, there was no real cutting edge to it. We did make a lot of movement. We were fast. We pinned Sheffield in, which is what they regularly do to us when they're even strengthened. It was good to see us finally get into the groove of that and press them hard and make ourselves do this. I think that at one stage their penalty kill shift was really out there on their feet. And eventually, the pressing was good and finally get a good chance on that and, cometh the moment, cometh the man, in Joey Martin to finally get us that go ahead goal.
Yeah, a bit of a laborious power play, as you said, Aaron. But I know you've sort of criticised Devils' power play, but was it just the lack of cutting edge that you felt that was hurting us?
The way we moved the puck and the way we control the zone, I think, is fantastic. I think what we lack in is the final push where we usually score a goal on it. I know we've done it a couple of times, and as you corrected me, it's actually quite a good power play the last couple of games. But it's just we seem to get so many chances. We either shoot high or wide, and it's just frustrating when I'm sat in my seat and I'm just like, not expecting a goal, but the amount of chances we get, it's just like, oh, come on, just score a goal. But, we had the 5 minutes, we made the most of it, and we scored and evened it up again. So, happy days.
Yeah, and I think that the 5 minutes was the telling part, that they just kept the Steelers' kill unit out on the ice consistently, and potentially the difference maker to put us in the lead. A lead that didn't last massively long, though. I did miss Steelers' equalising goal. I'd made a little visit to the boys' room. But Jace Cole on his return, his second goal in his second game back for the Steelers, Sean, and pulled them right back into the game.
Yeah, and quite demotivating for that to happen. It was, I think, less than 2 minutes later, something like that.
Two and a half minutes later,
We'd gone all that time waiting for that go-ahead goal, and finally it came, and then it lasted nearly no time at all. But we did exactly the same thing to them. I think it was 24 seconds later, and
yeah.
Josh Batch, what can you say? What a guy. What a guy.
What a guy.
What a hero.
And the goal came on some good work from Sean Bentivoglio, who was skating a line into the zone. The pass, I think he was skating towards the net, the pass went out wide, totally taking him out of the play, but he worked to get back to the boards to retrieve the puck. Managed to get a shot off on the ever-bouncy Moose, I can't remember how to pronounce his surname.
Irvin's Mustakovs.
Mustakovs, that was Moose. Him. Moose. And, the ever-bouncy Moose put the puck straight into the slot for Josh Batch to bury, and setting up a rather nervy 7 minute end of the game where, totally unsurprisingly, Sheffield pushed and pushed, trying to get through Paul's Moose for the last minute and a bit of the game. Devil stood strong with some good saves from Ben Bams as well, and a sort of shot blocking that we've come to expect from the team over the last couple of years, and sort of held out for our fifth league victory in a row against Sheffield, which is quite a remarkable stat in itself, I think. A good performance from Bams, as I said there, Sean, a couple of saves at the end, but you're solid throughout.
Yeah, for sure. I think the one goal, the first goal, that was a little bit of a bounce, kind of got away from him, happens to netminders around the country. You know, they lose sight of the puck in all the, amongst all the bodies, and it goes through him. The second one, yep, good finish, no arguments with it. But ultimately, Sheffield outshot us 31-27, and Bounds made 29 saves, 30 if you count the, you know, the fluky one, and a really good performance. Where he stood on his head and made some incredible saves at some stages of the game. So yeah, I was really, really, really pleased and really enjoyed his performance.
Yeah, and another real positive I thought was that, you know, again, the second game in a row following the mauling to the Panthers, you know, at times Ice Arena Wales was absolutely bouncing and you know, really starting to get the atmosphere into that rink and making it start to feel like a, not like a home, it's always felt like home, but, you know, a bit more of an intimidating atmosphere, you know, that we were well known for in the tent. Mm. And so the other thing to notice is mentioned around the tent is that, you know, Paul Thompson obviously hated going there. It's nice to see that he still hates coming to Cardiff, Aaron.
Yeah, definitely. I think I've seen more tantrums of him in the last 2 weeks than, well, 3 weeks than I did the entire time he was coaching the Steelers in the tent, which is always entertaining to watch. It makes beating them that a little bit sweeter. And to be honest, I was just excited to see his reaction at the end, because he always got an excuse for something. And although the penalty may not have been a penalty, he made a big fuss about it when he should just man up and get on with it. And, you know, never mind.
I noticed that the equipment guys shot off with the stick rack pretty rapid when the final buzzer went as well. So they did, yeah, so they had a little bit less mess to pick up.
Thompson, to take out his frustrations by booting the door open, which could only have been made sweeter if it had swung back into his face.
Yeah, I really think we need to invest in one of those.
Well, just a bit of a heavier spring for the next game.
Yeah, it's bound to happen, so you might as well get some enjoyment out of it.
That would be excellent. I did like on the highlights as well, you just saw, I think it was decent, Jamie Elston on the bench had a little chuckle to themselves as he stormed off as well on the highlights, so...
No, I love the highlights. I love that the camera immediately didn't concentrate on the celebrations, but went straight to Paul Thompson, knowing that something was going to happen.
Yeah, you knew where all the excitement was going to be, and quite right from Howard, the cameraman. So, positive Saturday night. Not so much on Sunday. Sean was the only one of us who travelled. Obviously, Aaron and myself unable to watch on via any means of some sort of webcast or some other magical technology that hasn't reached not yet.
Some sorcery.
What is this? And you know, that not having a webcast really helped Nottingham's attendance as well, Sean, with a half empty NIC.
Yeah, it was dead in there, really dead.
But I think the deadness wasn't limited to the crowd, I think.
No, unfortunately not. It also extended into our lineup for around, I think it was about 37 minutes of the game. It was disappointing, ultimately. To make the trip up there, and you know, the opening minute was very, very good. The opening minute and a half, that sort of thing. We went out. We were fast. We were physical. We had a good lot of zone times. And the better of the opening chances. Couldn't quite bury one. Nottingham go up the other end, get a lucky bounce, loops over Bounds' head. Robert Farmer scores the first goal of the game, and our heads drop, and you may as well have called the game over there. Steve Schultz adds a second just 6 minutes in, and we go in with a two-goal deficit, and through the stages of the first period, we probably deserve to be 4 or 5 goals down. There's no doubt about it. Nottingham put so many chances high and wide, and Bounds was forced into a couple of saves. But ultimately, we just didn't have an answer for them after that. And it was frustrating because, like I said, we had opened that opening minute and a half so well and dominated. And then for it to go downhill like that was incredibly frustrating.
Do you see that as a mental issue around, you know, obviously we've beaten them once, but we've struggled so much against them this year that they felt that they were done as soon as they went behind?
Possibly, you know, we have struggled to score against Nottingham, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, we had a big game the night before against Sheffield and used up a lot of energy. I completely understand that. But then to get in that opening minute and play the way we did, and then to completely cut it off after we go a goal down, you know, I know the energy levels probably weren't there, but go out and give your all in the opening 20 minutes and don't, you know, ultimately, we played in the last 23 minutes. We decided to turn up in the last 23 minutes. And if we had done it the other way around, 23 minutes and blitzed it, we could have had a completely different game. We could have had a lead and then sat on it, and ultimately we would have been gassed, you know. But you could see, you could have seen that the players gave it everything and didn't have it in them to close out the victory. And I would rather that, you know. Ultimately, I do want a 60-minute performance, but if you go out there and give your best and just completely tire out, then, you know, that happens. That's sport. And that's the nature of playing in this league, playing back-to-back weekends. But we came out, we set the tone in the opening minute and a half, put our heads down when we let the goal in, and completely gave up on the game from that point. The passes were going astray. There was no sort of fluid movements or any sort of idea of what to do. We kept trying to do the same thing over and over again, and it didn't happen for us. And we neglected to change things up again right until this, you know, the end of the second period.
As someone who wasn't there, you know, I think what frustrated me reading, you know, the reports, you know, the play-by-play stuff and what happened around up and from others, is that Nottingham had 15 skaters and only 4 fit defencemen, yet we didn't go out there and, you know,
bang bodies,
or even, you know, maybe play a little bit dirty and try and drag people to the bin with you, just to have people icing in more and more minutes.
Yeah.
It just seems absolutely crazy that a team that short benched, you don't try and, you know, make it even more difficult for them. But I don't know. And you also mentioned around, you know, not maybe not having the legs, but we're going to be playing 2 games a weekend all season with a team at the top of the table. We're going to have difficult games a lot on Saturday. So teams are going to raise it, and if we can't do it on the Sunday after a difficult game, we're really going to struggle. And
And you look at the scoreline after the second period, and we're 3-1 down. Joey Haddad gets one, and we make it up to 3-2. And I think that scoreline really, really flattered us, because we should have been dead and buried after the end of the first period, and we were lucky that we weren't. And the guys possibly took that into the second with a lucky goal. You know, we managed to get another lucky bounce in the second in 2 nights, with Lane Number managed to grab or be credited with an unassisted goal. And the guys sort of realised that it was within reach, you know, it was only 2 goals. Joey Haddad gets one 8 minutes into the third, and it's game on. And I was sort of really, I thought, you know, we can do this. You know, it's only 1 goal, and we've been incredibly lucky to be within this reach after that time. And we did keep trying to grab that that equalising goal, but we just left it way too late. You can't show up to play Nottingham in Nottingham with 23 minutes left in the game and expect to win. It just doesn't happen. You've got to show up right from the first whistle and give your all right until the end. Otherwise, you're not going to beat Nottingham. You know, they're not the best team this year. They've had a lot of problems, but they will punish you at home, because they're a very good home side, ultimately. And it's a place that, on the last 2 visits, their visit to us, they just have our number, and ultimately we don't know how to beat them.
Yeah, they might be a good team on their home ice, but they're definitely a good team when they face them with Devils written on their shirts.
Yeah, well, I think that's what's so frustrating, is we've seen them lose to you know, team A, B and C, and we've beaten them once this year with, you know, possibly a good bounce in Ice Arena Wales as well, with Jan Schmeichel taking control of that and all the controversies around that. That's the only time we've beaten them. And that is worrying, given that we've beaten the best team in the league 5 times this year, and we've beaten Nottingham once, who are nowhere near in the same league as Sheffield. In terms of their raw quality this year, I don't think they're as good as Sheffield, and we just can't seem to break them down and beat them. And it's so frustrating.
It's frustrating, but it's also concerning, because if by some miracle we win out against Sheffield, but Nottingham win out against us,
it's for nothing.
That would have us level on points. That would tie us there, and it would then come down to results against other teams. And against other teams, Sheffield are doing better than us, because they've gained 7 more points against other teams than us, because, you know, they're close to us in the league, and we've picked up 9 on them. It's, if we lose every game to Nottingham, regardless of what happens against Sheffield, we won't win the league. I go as far as saying that. So
yeah, I completely agree. Cannot disagree with you at all.
And you'd be in a crazy situation where Nottingham would have won the league for Sheffield, but Sheffield won't mind. I'm quite confident about that one.
Staggering.
Yeah, well, I think we play Nottingham next. I think we've got 1 game against them in January, I seem to believe. So
We did. I think it got moved. Did it get moved?
Yeah, the away one was. We play them home on the last Saturday in January, though.
Yes, we do, the 28th, yes.
We've got just over a month to figure out what it is that Nottingham are doing that is causing us so many problems. And,
you know, and then we play them away the week after. Woo! And then at home the following week on the Sunday. Good God.
I like the fact that we've spaced our
time. Yeah, at least by then we'll sort of know if we're going to be still in the mix, because by the 12th of February, when they've beaten us three times, we could be out of it. So at least we can enjoy Belfast with a booze up. Me, full of confidence. I think we'll beat them. It's fine. I think we'll beat them. I think we'll beat them. I think we'll beat Nottingham twice before the end of the year.
Out of five?
Before the end of the season.
I want to see three, I reckon, if we're serious. But, or at least just Nottingham to beat Sheffield a couple of times then. One or the other.
Christmas, you know, we'll win two and they beat Sheffield twice over Christmas. How about that?
We'll take that. I'll bite your hand off for that one, actually.
Yeah, me too.
So that was the weekend. And one thing, Jonathan Williams, I think, put on Twitter that we've played Sheffield and Nottingham six times in total over the last couple of weeks. And we have managed to win four of those games. So, you know, whilst it's a bit doom and gloomy, it probably isn't as bad when you look at it that way. And the fact that the losses are against Nottingham, which is less damaging than them being against Sheffield. So, you know, it's not all negative, but, you know, it is just, for me, a massive concern that the consistency of the poor performances against Nottingham.
Every cloud.
And the silver lining is going to be the player of the week. We'll ask Sean first, the only one who saw both games this weekend. Not that I'm not convinced Sunday will have added much to your thinking, but who gets your pick of player of the week?
I'm going to go with someone who gave it their all over the entire 120 minutes of hockey over this weekend, and that's Matthew Myers.
Fantastic. Straight to the point. Aaron, who gets your vote?
Basically on the Sheffield game, I'm going to go with Mark Lewis. I thought he played brilliantly. You know, he wasn't perfect, but going forward, he's fantastic. He's always defensively responsible, and usually he's covering for Fournier when Fournier jumps into the play. And he's just fantastic, sticks up for the guys, and I thought he played well Saturday, and so, yeah, I'm going to go with Mark Lewis.
And, I'm going to agree that the guy that was going to get my vote was Mark Lewis as well. Had an excellent Saturday. He's been excellent, you know, consistently since his return from injury. Excellent game Saturday, and, you know, I'm basing it solely on that. But I think I read a couple of places that Lewis was one of the better performances Sunday, Sean.
Did play very well. He was very, very good.
Well, glad that we've got Sean's endorsement.
He was my second pick if I didn't go for Matthew Byers. He was my second. It was a toss-up.
So what should we, Sean, you didn't give us any.
Aaron's just going to keep talking. For Mark Lewis, congratulations. As we've sort of just touched on, talking about the league table, so I think we've spent the last few weeks, I think most fans around the league have spent the time talking about the league as being in a bit of a two-horse race between ourselves and Sheffield. But Belfast have sort of snuck up on everyone, I think, you know, quietly going about their business after what, you know, their fans were extremely unhappy with the start they made. As we touched on, they beat Nottingham 7-4 Saturday and then shut out Coventry 3-0 on Sunday, a Coventry team that have done pretty well since we played them, I think, last. So
yeah, since the additions of TJ Steiner and Almeida.
Yeah, both of whom were running at a point and a half a game, as you know, some people touch on previewing our Christmas games. But if you look at points dropped in the league table, Belfast have now only dropped two more points than Sheffield. And, you know, given that they've played three more games, that's a really strong position that they've managed to get themselves into. And with four games against Sheffield coming up in January, they're a team that, by the end of January, could be right in the mix, Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. Go on, sorry, I missed the last bit.
So just unexpected, given the way that they started and the discontent that was coming out of Belfast.
Yeah, you know, they made a good run. I think ultimately everyone did sort of make, you know, that assumption that it was a two-horse race and either us or Sheffield were going to run away with it and all this sort of thing. And like you said, Belfast have quietly gone about their business and put himself in a very, very good position. As you said, they play Sheffield 4 times in January, and if they can claw some points out of that, then they're looking very good. They're looking very good for it, and they play, I think we still have 4 fixtures against them overall. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, 3. No.
Sorry, 5 fixtures against them.
5 left, 3 at home, and then...
We played them once at home and twice away. Yeah, we play them in a away doubleheader in February, a home doubleheader in the last weekend of the season, and another rogue home game somewhere as well. So, yeah, you know, Belfast have done really, really well the last couple of weeks, and interested to see if they can sort of continue that run or whether they do a slump anytime soon. I think Jackson Whistle has come in and played a good couple of games for them. Having a netminder in tandem really does help, because ultimately, if one isn't performing and you switch them out, then you feel responsible. They pick themselves up, and it just gives the team a bit of a shift in the right direction and a kick at the arse, if you will. And it seems to have worked wonders for them. They've got some very, very good talent. You know, James DeMarais is a very good player. Perhaps not having his best year. Alex Foster, Steve Saviano, very, very good talents, starting to play their best hockey. Derek Walter, in my mind, is still one of the best defensemen in the Elite League in terms of his output. And they're looking very good. They're looking really good. And ultimately, it's nice to see that they do play Sheffield a couple of times, and they're a team that wants to compete. If they want to compete for the league title, they're going to have to beat Sheffield, and that could do us a couple of favours as well as them. So, yeah, I think January is a big month for Belfast.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think the biggest thing I want from the Belfast-Sheffield games is lots of regulation wins. Jeff Oyega,
a regulation split series.
Yeah, be happy with that. Maybe Belfast doing 3 of the 4 or a split. But just no overtime points. Let's not mess around.
No thanks.
Yeah, so things looking a little bit interesting in the league. But sort of moving back to the weekend, sort of your Ramite selections for the week, and our social media correspondent, Sean, I think, has them ready.
We do indeed. Tony Dickin said he loved the Christmas present from the Steelers on the delayed penalty goal from a combination with Ben O'Connor and Davey Phillips, and hated that we forgot to give them something in return. I didn't hate that, Tony, but thanks for that in any case.
He's obviously a nice great,
yeah, he's a very, very generous person. Next time they come to town, Tone, we'll, yeah, make sure the guys make sure to give them to score an own goal. I'm sure they'll love that. Mark Phillips said he loved the game, hated Tomo. I get it. Everybody does, or most people do. Matt Millard said that he loved Nottingham's Arena, best in the league. Hate going there because you always seem to play so badly. And this year that happens to be the case. Ali Wilcox said, Devils are like Superman against Sheffield. It's just a shame that Nottingham are kryptonite. # stupid bear. And we also had one from Nick Helloway, affectionately known as Shifty. Loved the passion when we beat Sheffield. Paul's face was a picture. Paul, your face was definitely a picture.
I was a little excited on Saturday, I'm not going to lie.
You were so very excited.
As I kept saying, I loved beating them. And it was a very sweet win.
Was indeed.
Yes.
It's always good to end drama in a good way, isn't it? You know,
yes.
We've gone talking about the Nottingham game and how bad we were, and then talked about how Belfast can catch us, and then we end with
Paul's face.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you say it like that. Now you say it like that. It's more of a scary end. Great. It's much more of a scary ending.
Yeah, I won't say what it would have been if it was a good ending. yes. Right, well, we'll have a little look at our festive schedule. We've got a fair few games coming up, starting on Wednesday, where Dundee come into town for the second leg of the Challenge Cup, with the Devils currently 4-1 up. And you've got to think a bit of an opportunity for the Devils maybe to rest Denny Knox, and you'll probably see Moody getting a start, Aaron.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. You know, last 2 weekends, especially for Bounds, you know, he had that difficult game against Nottingham when we lost 8-0, and, you know, the goalies were swapping back and forth all game. And then, you know, he had to stand on his head against Sheffield Sunday, and then again Saturday, just gone, and more than likely played an outstanding performance again Sunday. So I think if Ben can sit this one out and give Murdy a start, so he's still a bit warm, I think that'll be good coming down the stretch where we've possibly swap him about. But yeah, I'd like to see him play, but you know, Lordy, well, saying that, we lost, so he might change it, but he's not one to change things if we're doing well, and Bounds have been doing well. So
yeah, that's an interesting point. And so another one, and admit, I know the Edinburgh had their backup in, but Dundee did put 10 on them on Sunday night, Sean. So, you know, they definitely know where the goal is, but I would imagine they're going to face a sterner testing goal, whoever gets the start.
Yeah, for sure. I think ultimately, the Dundee game, I think ultimately if we score the first goal, if we score a goal, I think that's tie over. As long as we tighten up, Moody's more than capable of backstopping us to a good victory in that game. I think it'd be really important for us to rest some legs. We have such a busy schedule coming up, and it's not like in years past where we're looking to qualify for, you know, jostle for position in the league. You know, we're challenging for a title here, and we need to be at our best every game. So I'd like to see Culligan in the lineup on a regular basis. If Lord's nursing an injury, which, you know, he benched himself on Sunday, probably to get a better read on the game. Ultimately, it didn't work out, but you've got guys who are underperforming, and ultimately, I think you take them, or you give them the minutes in the game against Dundee, and then if they don't perform, you take those minutes away, probably even bench them against Manchester. A player who I feel is underperforming, you know, in Lane Ulmer, I feel like ultimately on Sunday, I was devastated that Lord sat himself, because he's been in good form, and Lane Ulmer just isn't producing the goods for me at the moment, and I wish Lord had played. So, you know, Dundee are going to think that the game is there for the taking. If Murdy starts, they'll smell blood, and it's a competition that they want to win ultimately. It's a hard journey for them to come down, and it's asking a lot, but hey, we've turned around three goal leads. There's no reason Dundee can't do it.
Yeah, definitely not a reason, but just hopefully they won't.
Yeah.
And then 2 days later, the next game comes along on Friday against Manchester, as you know, Sean just touched on. So, you know, straight back into league action with just the one day off. And, you know, a Manchester team that caused us a lot of trouble up there, but you know, when they came into Cardiff on the bigger ice, you know, they weren't able to pose us quite so much of an issue. Do you see it going the same way again, Aaron, or you're expecting a tough test from what is a good Storm team this year?
Yeah, you said they're right there, Paul. They're a really good team. They've got a good netminder. I think last time they come to us, I think they were missing a few guys. Their tough guy was just took a puff to the face, and I think he's back now. So, you know, it could be a different game, but I have full faith in the team to come out victors against Manchester. They're a great team, but if we play our game, we're unstoppable, so I can't see it causing us that much problems.
Yeah, that would be nice. And then everyone's favourite team that we very rarely seem to play, the annual Christmas doubleheader against Coventry, would be first game on Monday, Boxing Day in Coventry. Still a couple of spaces left for Red Army Travel if you're interested. Cheap plug, can't help it. before the return leg Tuesday in Cardiff. And, you know, not to the extent of Nottingham, but a team that have, you'd be not necessarily fanned us out, Sean, but, you know, have really found a good way to play against us in the majority of the games this year, keeping it tight.
Yeah, you know, they got off to a good start against us in our last game up there. I think that was the game that they went 3-1 up, and we didn't have an answer for them in the second stage of that first period, and then ultimately we sort of got into our groove. Ultimately, we're a better side than Coventry. You know, there's no doubt about it. We have more talent. We're, you know, a better, you know, drilled team, and you know, we have the best quality in terms of the two teams. We have a bigger budget. They should be a team that we are able to beat. And they are our closest rivals in terms of geography. It's Christmas. It's always good to win those games. I guess the guys in a good frame of mind going into the last stretch of the season, the second half. And it's an opportunity for us. With us facing Coventry twice, Sheffield facing Nottingham twice, it's a big opportunity for us to take advantage. If Nottingham do manage to take points out of Sheffield, and it's a must win if they don't, and Sheffield beat them in both games. So we need to maintain the pace and win both games. They're going to be a formidable foe. Brian Stewart is a great goaltender. As we mentioned earlier, Sider and Almeida have turned Coventry into a bit of a force. They've actually got some scoring touch about them. Kevin Noble logs a lot of minutes, is the heart and soul player that they need. Really impressed with Liam Stewart and his grit that he brings. And they're not going to be any sort of pushover. They're going to want to, you know, give their home fans some sort of Christmas present. And hopefully we can ruin their Christmas.
Yeah, a beautiful way of putting that. A beautifully festive message there, Sean. Mm. Let's hope that we can ruin Coventry's Christmas. You know, if his old man and, you know, maybe his stepmom wanted to pay a visit to either rink, you know, not in a cheap greyhead plugging type of way, just it would be nice to see them. You know, not saying which one I would prefer to see, but, you know, it would be lovely.
Isn't Rod already on the Brayhead Wall of Fame, though?
I think, yeah, they had a Sir Rod shirt made up and thought, oh, we might as well just put him up on the Wall of Fame, because he's played nearly as many games as some of the people on the wall, so why not? Yeah, well, we haven't had a good Brayhead for a little while, so
that's because they're irrelevant now. They're irrelevant.
Well, we are going there soon, so it'll give you plenty of opportunities.
Oh yeah, sure about that. Can't wait.
That isn't long. Yeah. Aaron, any thoughts on the Coventry doubleheader that, you know, we've not covered off?
No, not really. You know, as long as we can move Stewart side to side and put packs on net, I don't see us having any problem at all. You know, we struggled against them the last couple of times we played them, but, you know, we've got to turn that around, and hopefully that this string of games we can start finding our goal-scoring streak and make the most of it, ready for when we've got that string of Nottingham games. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to it, and you know, agree totally on the move, getting Brian Stewart moving. Really does seem to be the best way to get pucks past him and start to get in his head a little bit, which is always an enjoyable thing to watch. But that's everything for this week. A bit of a shorter episode than normal with you know, Christmas on the way. It is our last show before Christmas, so on behalf of Sean, Aaron and myself, wish you all a very Merry Christmas. And that is your Red Army Roundup.